Through this lesson of the scriptures this morning, dear Lord and Father, that it would be a help and strength to your body of believers here, to this church, to the individuals, to the families, Lord. Lord, that it would be, Father, a help of instruction. I pray, Father, that you will have your way in this service and receive all glory from it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. While you're standing, turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 23. We want to read start at verse 32. What I want to speak on today is forgiveness. Forgiveness. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. You may be seated. Forgiveness. In order for us to be Christ-like, this is a big one. We've got to learn to forgive. We got to learn to forgive even when we haven't been asked to forgive. Even when someone hasn't asked our forgiveness, they were not, on this day at Calvary, they were not asking him to forgive them. But he of his own said, Father, forgive them. We find in Psalms, David writes, in Psalms 86, said, Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy to all them that call upon thee. So God always stands ready to forgive us. Aren't you thankful for that? He's always ready to forgive us. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. I want to read a couple of verses of scripture there. And it says, verse 14, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And the word trespasses there means your offenses, your offense, to commit an offense against someone. And it's very plain. It states that if you'll forgive others when they've trespassed against you, then your Heavenly Father will forgive you when you trespass against him. But if you can't forgive, then he won't forgive you. Well, I'll tell you what. I want him to be able to forgive me. And holding, just put it this way, holding a grudge in your heart against someone isn't worth missing heaven over. Amen. Now let's go to Matthew 18. We mentioned this scripture on Thursday night. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490. Until 70 times seven. Then he gives a parable here to further illustrate that. It says, therefore, in the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosened him and forgave him the debt. So he actually just said, all right, just I'm so moved with compassion, just forget you don't owe me anything. Forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. So he owed him very much less than what he had owed. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then the Lord, after he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all thy debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him into the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not one of his brother their trespasses. There's not a one of us in here that can say we have not needed forgiveness from the Lord. We're all sinners, and we've all fell short of the glory of God. And we all need the grace and mercy of God, and we all need his forgiveness. Let's look in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee and saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So now this ain't just 70 times seven. This is seven times in one day. That's a lot of times for somebody to offend you in one day. But he said, if he repents of it, then you're to forgive him that seven times in one day. The Bible says, when you stand praying, forgive. And it said, if you have aught against any. So if in your heart you have something against someone, they've done you wrong, or you feel they've done you wrong, or you imagine that they've done you wrong, then forgive. And realize this, if it's just something that you have thought and it's not actually been confirmed, then you don't really have anything to forgive somebody of, and you shouldn't be having aught to begin with. You know, children and teenagers and so on, they follow the example that's laid down by their parents. I know when they're teens that somebody tells them you're going to be just like your dad or you're going to be just like your mom, they'll say, oh, no, I'm not. Yeah, you will. Eventually. Eventually. And when you get older, then you'll be like, it'll hit you all of a sudden. You say, my goodness sakes, it happened. But you'll do things because of what the you've seen practiced before you. And if you can practice forgiveness before your children, then your children will be able to forgive. And I'll tell you this, when you're raising your children, they don't come with an owner's manual where you can troubleshoot them. Or you can, or it gives you a guideline on how to handle every situation. So you're going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes that your children are going to have to forgive you of. So if they, if you don't teach them to be forgiving, they're not going to forgive you. Seems like in every family, especially families, well, obviously families, bigger families, larger families, parents are usually hardest on the eldest. The older ones are usually harder on. And then it depends also then too on gender, oldest girl, oldest boy, they'll be harder on them. Then as they have more children, they get on down in age and that, they're not quite as hard on them. It's because they learn. It isn't just because they're getting soft. Although some of that could be the case, but you learn. You make a lot of mistakes. And you have things that need to be forgiven. But it says, when you stand, pray, and forgive. If you can't forgive when you're praying, God won't even hear your prayer. That your heavenly Father also, which in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you forgive not, neither will your heavenly your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. You realize there is a power in forgiving. Being able to forgive is there's a power in it. It causes things to change. It'll change your outlook towards someone, and it can change the whole situation and turn it around. But if you can't forgive, then it's going to just make things worse. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it talks about Joseph. And we all remember what Joseph's brothers did unto him. How they took him and they stripped his coat from him and they cast him in a pit. And then when slave traders came by, they sold him as a slave to get rid of him. And went and put animal blood on the coat and took it back to the father and said, Joseph got killed. And then the Bible says when Jacob passed away, at Jacob's death, that the brethren of Joseph became fearful. They were afraid that now that their father was gone, that Joseph would turn and retaliate against them, that he would get back at them for what they had done now that Jacob was gone. And so they sent a messenger to Joseph saying that before our father died, he commanded us that we would ask you to forgive us of our trespass against you. And they bowed themselves, the Bible said, before Joseph and said, we're your servants. And they were repenting. Now, Joseph says, I am in the place of God to you. And he said, though you meant it for evil when you did it, it was all in the plan of God. And God meant it for good, that many people would be saved, that we would be in the situation that we are now, where I would be in a position where I'm at to be able to save all of you. And so Joseph forgave them. He had already forgiven them because he saw what the Lord had brought to pass and that God had a way in bringing it to pass. It's hard to think that God would have been in his plan for Joseph's brothers to trespass against him in this way. But somehow God had to get him to Egypt. And somehow he had to get him into position to where he would be able to save his brethren. In the book of Jeremiah, God said, I'll forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Now, we're human. When we forgive somebody, we're not like God. God actually can take and place that away to where it's remembered no more. It's covered by the blood. It is though it never happened. Justified. You never done it in the first place. When Brother Branham explains that about being justified, he brings in, he says, now, we as humans, he said, I can forgive, but I won't forget. And that is something that it's impossible for us to forget when somebody's done something against us. And we can say we forgive them. But if we really forgive them, though we can't forget, here's the clue. Here's the real thing about it. We won't bring it up again. You may not be able to, it may not be something that's in your memory that you can't just wipe it out, but don't bring it up no more. Once it's been brought out, once it's been forgiven, then let it go. Let it alone. Paul says, to whom if you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. First John 1 and 9, I'm going to change gears just a little bit here. First John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we're talking about him forgiving us. Brother Branham says, it isn't how much you pray. It's that you confess. Confess your sin, and then he will forgive you. God will forgive you. So it isn't. He said, all he asks of you to do is be sorry for what you done. Not, well, I know I'm doing wrong, but I'm gonna go headstrong and go do it anyway. You're not repenting. You're not asking for forgiveness. Just an acknowledgement is not a confession. If we confess our wrongs, He is just to forgive us. And your confession is good. As long as your confession holds, your salvation's perfect. In the midst of what does thou hear, Brother Branham was praying. He said, O Lord, hear our prayer. This is our prayer of forgiveness, Lord. We pray forgiveness. We pray for mercy. Forgive us, Lord, as is written in thy word, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So he said, this is our prayer of forgiveness. We're asking for forgiveness. Brother Branham says in the message of Have Faith in God, he said, he was praying again. He said, even over unbelief, your grace overrides our unbelief. We believe you to be omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, infinite God. We would ask you tonight to forgive us our sins and shortcomings and all our doubts and unbelief. We have to be willing to admit our mistakes. When we're willing to admit them, then He is willing to forgive them. He stands ready, as I read to you in Psalms, He stands ready to forgive. All He's waiting for us to admit, yes, I made a mistake. And you know what? If you've got the Holy Ghost, the moment you realize you've made a mistake, there is something that just grips you inside and you want to be forgiven. You want to repent. You have a repentant heart. I found this when I was studying as I went further into this yesterday. It was in Blind Bartimaeus, preached 59. Brother Branham says, if you've took His name in vain, whew, that's a big one. If you've took His name in vain, if you've done evil, despitefully used His grace, the Bible talks about those who've done despite into the spirit of grace. Despitefully used His grace, won't you come now and repent of it? He's willing to forgive you. He that will come to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's only, mentioned this, I believe, Thursday night, there's only one sin that can't be forgiven, and that is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. All other sins can be forgiven. There was a young lady that came to Brother Branham in a meeting, and she walked up and she spoke something to him when he was, I believe it was here in discernment. And he calls her name, he says, Betty Daldry was going to be in this meeting, but the first one on my other discernment was Betty Daldry. Here it is back again at the first meeting on this. She knew right then that what I was speaking of. I don't want to start discernment again because it's in the line. But she said she ought to have just, she said what she ought to have just now. She was filled with the Holy Ghost while I was at St. Louis. But as a teenage girl, she done things she ought not have done. But who hasn't? Who hasn't, he says again. If it isn't grace, we're all lost. So he's talking about this young lady said, when she was a teenager, she's done some things she ought not to have done. But he said, who hasn't? If it wasn't for grace, we'd all be lost. Even after you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to bring your flesh into subjection, because your flesh, the flesh doesn't want to forgive. The flesh wants to get even. The flesh wants to do something back. Be contrary. So, well, I'm never going to have nothing to do with you again. That's why we got families tore up everywhere. Because they won't have forgiveness in their families. Well, I'm not going to come around the family no more. You realize sometimes, and I've preached on this before, sometimes it could be your imagination. It could just be something you imagined it to be that way. A feeling you had. Let me tell you something about your feelings. Your feelings are not discernment. Well, I felt like that maybe they were feeling something bad against me, why they didn't speak to me. That's your imagination. And in that case, there really is nothing to be forgiven. But if you'll let that thing lay there, it'll bring division and bring separation. We don't need division and separation in families. And if you've got any, then you need to be mending and repairing it. We're coming up on a time of the year when families usually gather together. We've just got into November. We know by the end of the month is Thanksgiving. It's usually, to me, it's like the first, if not the second, biggest holiday of the year when families gather. Usually the two big ones is Thanksgiving and Christmas. When it seems like families always gather during those times. And you know what? You should. You should get together with your family. Be willing to put things that's in the past, let them be in the past. We need to, if we can't have unity in our families here, how do we expect to be in unity over there? Because we will be. Like I've said many times, you're not going to have your own special little corner over in heaven, where you're secluded and say, well, you know, I don't got to deal with anybody else. This part's just my heaven. We're going to be there together. And one day you're going to sit down at the table with each other. So I think you ought to practice it now. Have forgiveness. I think it'd change these holidays coming up amongst the families if we could practice forgiveness. Paul says in Ephesians 4, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So this, he's talking to people that are sealed by the Holy Ghost. Not somebody that's just had a baptism of the Spirit on their spirit. But somebody whose soul is sealed by the Holy Ghost. But you still have to contend with this flesh. Like I said, the flesh, it doesn't want to forgive. But we have to, Paul says, we have to crucify this flesh daily. In other words, die to the flesh. Not give in to it. Usually, our first reaction to anything is usually carnal. Whenever it turns out that your first reaction is from a spiritual sense, sometimes with me, it's like I get surprised and I get happy. It's like, whoo, that's pretty good. I didn't react to that out of my flesh. Sometimes you something happens, you don't know how to react. It's best just don't show no reaction at all. Wait till you get off to yourself and pray about it, or you can talk to your spouse about it or something, to where then you can kind of rein in your flesh so that you're not reacting to something out of your emotions. I have been in meetings with other pastors who have reacted out of their emotions, and it ain't a pretty sight. I said something to Brother Phil one time some years ago. I said, Brother Phil, if you ever see me reacting out of my emotions to some situation, just let me know. Please let me know, because I don't want to do that. Our emotions are strong, and it's our first tendency to react from them. If we feel hurt, then we'll react real defensive. Knowing that within ourselves, then we ought to really be able to see that with someone else and say, oh, you know what? I think maybe they just reacted out of their flesh. Truly, they didn't mean that. Forgive them. You ain't no better than they are. I've seen too much division among families. I've seen division in churches. I've seen churches split, all because someone gets an idea in their head and they just can't forgive the other one. That ain't right. If we're going to be Christ-like, then one of the first things we ought to be able to do is forgive one another. Remember, it's your brother and sister. Sometimes we have a tendency to value our blood relation over our Christian family, the family of God. And that shouldn't be. People have a tendency to want to take sides. That only brings division. You realize within its own definition, taking sides is bringing division. Questions and answers. Brother Bram said, now if the spirit of Elijah upon John would make him act like Elijah, the Spirit of God upon you would make you act like Jesus. That's where you find the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It makes you meek, makes you humble, makes you forgiving. Could they pull the whiskers on your face if you had them and jerk them out and spit in your face when you had the power to call legions of angels? Could you do that for the love of the people that was spitting in your face? Could you do it? If someone just walked up to you and said, "Hey, you hypocrite," smacked you on one side of the face, could you pray for their forgiveness? Now, that's where the test, whether you got the Holy Spirit or not. When somebody says something evil against someone, sometimes that claims to have the Holy Spirit, they'll say, "I'll get even with her if it takes me to my last day." See? Now, there's where you check about your Holy Spirit. See, blessed are you when men shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. But you can go get even with them. No. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. When someone says something evil about you, say something good. That's hard to do. That's hard to do. When somebody says something evil about you, it's hard to turn around and say something good about them. And he says, if you can't say nothing good, then don't say nothing at all. Just let it go. Boy, that's a hard thing for us as humans to do, is just let something go. Hey, my flesh struggles with that. Your flesh struggles with that. Just let it go. Then when you get to yourself, pray for them. I know it's hard for us sometimes not to say anything at all. Now, this doesn't mean, this isn't talking about if a parent or something, that the child, teenager, whatever is doing something wrong, that she won't say or he won't say something to his spouse, "Hey, this and this and that's happening." That's not talking about somebody. That's doing what needs to be done as parents. And then we've got where there's times where there's things like that that need to be done from the pulpit. Paul actually called out names at times. I always felt sorry for Chloe. I don't know. Scripture never really says the gender of Chloe, whether it was a brother or sister or whatever. But it says of the house of Chloe. But Paul says, "I've heard this of the house of Chloe." Whenever Chloe said that, I imagine they weren't thinking Paul was going to out them and say, "Chloe told me." And then people get to feeling bad at Chloe because Chloe said something. But Chloe meant it for good. There was something that was going on in the church that needed to be reckoned with. And so it was brought to the attention of Paul. I've had things brought to my attention before. But it's not always that I didn't know about them already. I'm just waiting on the Lord to show me how to deal with it. What is the purpose of all this? We are striving to be acceptable. We want to be ready to go in this rapture. We want to be ready to go to meet the Lord at any time. That's what this is all about. So when we preach things like this, it's part of getting us ready. Can you forgive? Can you forgive one another? No matter what they've done to you, no matter how they have offended you. And look, I know how memory is. Satan will haunt you sometimes with some of these memories. There is something that happened to me when I was just a teenager in high school, and it happened to me in high school, and that thing every once in a while still haunts my mind. And the individual, I've never seen him since. I'll probably never see him again in my life. But if I can't forgive them, then that gets put to my charge that I wasn't able to forgive somebody. When you forgive, let it go. I know that we can't forget, but don't bring it up no more. It shouldn't be something that's brought up. I'll tell you what, past sins that people committed or things or how they lived when before they give their heart and soul to the Lord and were filled with the Holy Ghost, we shouldn't even bring them things up. Well, they did this, they used to do this and this and that all the time. That shouldn't be brought up. Don't talk about that stuff. That man's dead and buried. That's the old man, as Paul called it. My father-in-law, sometimes he doesn't even like to see pictures of himself when he was younger, because it reminds him of how he was before he gave his life to the Lord. And when they show him pictures of himself when he's younger, he'll say, "Oh, that's the old man. That's the old man. I'm not like that no more." Amen. Be willing to forgive, because you know you want to be forgiven. Because there's not a one of us in here that hasn't offended somebody some way, sometime, or the other. So we need forgiveness. Not be like the man in the scripture who got forgiveness for his debt, but could not forgive his fellow servant of a lesser thing. We should have mercy as our Heavenly Father is merciful. Amen. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for this time and this service and for this lesson that you've given us, dear God. And we ask, Lord, for us to be able to take it to heart. Lord, it not just be words that was spoke to fill up time and air, but Lord, it be something we take dear to our hearts, dear God. For Lord, forgiveness has a power that fights against the devil, because the devil doesn't want us to forgive one another. Lord, when we can, then we make him powerless. I ask, Lord, you to bless your people now today and bless their fellowship. We ask for your glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.